praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. You happy to be in church tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you are. God's got good things for us. Amen. You know, I'm never surprised. I'm always surprised, but I'm never really surprised. I mean, I'm surprised in my flesh, but you know, it always points back to the Word that God's good, and He always gives us what we need. He always gives us the truths that we need. Amen. The more that I study the Word, I'm so amazed by it all the time. I'm so amazed. You know, I can't get into the Word and just be on one subject for very long. It seems like, you know, it goes in a lot of different areas. And then it's also interesting that as I study the Word, that God always brings it back around. And so there'll be a scripture that maybe I didn't think, you know, two scriptures that I didn't think were connected. And then He connects a whole bunch of scriptures by having me go to them. And, you know, I didn't even know that there was a connection at the time. And then He shows me and reveals the connection. And I just love the Word for that, because it just keeps us on the right path. It keeps us going. It keeps us helped. Amen. It keeps us full. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I'm so thankful for the things that God has given us. I'm so thankful for the Word. You know, I've seen in the past few years, how my ministry has changed. And what I mean by my ministry is the one that the Lord has me in. But I've seen how that's changed and how it develops, and how there's greater revelation of things, and there's things that I'll put down. And you know, how many know that you don't follow a man because he's perfect, or a woman because they're perfect. You follow a man or woman because God connected you, amen? And that's what matters. You know, the perfection, if we look to, you know, Pastor Michael said to me once, he said this to many of us, but he's told me it many times. He says, you'll always be tested by the weakness of your leaders, you know. And what I've learned by that in just 7 years is that all men have weaknesses. All mankind has weaknesses. You know, there's things about their personalities that aren't perfect. And so we can't exalt man. We can't exalt woman above where we should. You know, there's an importance in finding a balance between honor and exaltation. Amen. And so we never want to exalt a man or woman, but we exalt God. Praise the Lord. And we do that by understanding how God does things. That the Bible says that we're scarcely saved, or we're barely saved. You know what I mean? And He said, if the just are barely saved, you know, how much worse it is for those who don't. But you know, when you think about that, we're barely saved. Now, I thank God that's, you know, enough to get us in. But the point that He's making is that there's nothing good in us. There's nothing about us that saves us, amen? It's all the good that was in Him that saves us. And so everything that we do, we rely on Him for, amen? There's nothing that I give that's so important, except that I just endeavor to be in the plan that God has for my life. And I'm learning that as I go, that the plan isn't even about me. You know, He says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, but they're, you know, it's more about the plan than it is about you, amen? And so we have to learn those things. You know, one of the things I've been seeing about ministry is that, you know, a lot of people think about ministry as something that they obtain for them. You know, it's like when I get to a certain place, or if I get to a certain, you know, whatever. But then, see, that's just, and the Lord's just been showing me. I used to think that way too. And the Lord's just been showing me it's not about me. It's not about them. It's not about whoever gets to stand in the pulpit at all. If God calls you to the pulpit, that's about what He wants to do. It is not about you. And so, you know, He'll glorify, He'll give you things, He'll bless you. And the Bible tells us all that. Amen. But the glorification is not, oh, now I've become a minister, or now I've gotten to speak in front of people. Amen. Praise the Lord. The glory comes in fulfilling the plan of God and how He blesses us. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. Let's turn to Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. Tonight's message is called Best Made Plans. I would say that God deals with me about His plan almost continually. And that makes sense, because God's plan is to be walked out continually. God's plan, I don't know the fullness of it for my life, and I don't know the fullness of it for your life, but I do know this, that He reveals it as we go. And so God deals with me about his plan all the time when as it pertains to my own life. When he, when I seek God as to what to minister, it always in some way is revolving around his plan for the local body and the individuals in the local body. Amen? Amen. And so we need to be we need to learn to be hungry for God's plan. And here's the thing, you know, I love, again, I'm going to quote Pastor Michael just because I love the quote. It's so true. But he said, you know, speaking of pride, he said that if you think that you have no pride, you reek of it. You know, and the same thing goes, I find that that can apply to so many different things in life. If you think you know the word, if you think that you've got it all figured out, you don't. And if you think that something doesn't apply to you that's in the Word, you're wrong. It does. And so we have to understand that, you know. What I mean apply to you, I mean, obviously, there's different things that were done. But I'm talking about principles that are in the Word, the things that God teaches us. You know, Christ had to walk out being human, and he had to walk out the opposition to being human. All the things that we walk through, he had to walk that out. It wasn't a choice. In order for him to do what he did, he had to go through it. So it all applied to him as well. Amen. And so we're going to get into this here tonight. We're going to be talking about God's plans. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. I love that one of the, you know, the names given to the Holy Spirit is Counselor. One of, you know, we have, there's a bunch of names that we understand that connect to the Holy Spirit and who he is. But one of the things, one of the names given to him is Counselor. And it says here, it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. Of course, we know we receive God's counsel through the Holy Spirit. Whether we're reading in the Word of God, we receive God's counsel through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was what inspired men to write this book, right? To write these different books and these different letters that are in here, that we know that 1 Timothy tells us that the Word of God is inspired by God, amen? And so we know that the Spirit spoke to men and had them write things down, amen? But we also know that God, that if you just read the Word of God, if you just study it, if you just look at it like a textbook, you're never going to receive all that there is in here, because there's another side of the Word of God that we have to receive, and that's the side of revelation. Revelation also comes through the Holy Spirit, amen? And so you could say that God's counsel is found in these areas. But we also know that God speaks to our heart and will give us specific directions as it pertains to our lives. And if you're a minister, as it pertains to the flock and different things, you know, wherever you're at in whatever level, God will give you counsel according to that. But notice here in the first part of it, it says there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Telling us that we have to understand something about a man's heart is that we get many plans in our hearts. Amen. There are many things that will come to your heart over your lifetime, the course of your life, that will seem like good ideas. How many know if you've made a plan, if you have a plan that you're going to fulfill, that plan, at least in your own mind, is going to be good for what you're trying to fulfill, right? You're after a certain plan, and you wouldn't be following. If you want to be effective in it, you wouldn't be following it if you knew that it wasn't going to work out, right? I mean, if how many marriages can people say that they would not have got into? How many marriages that ended in divorce would people say, I would not have gotten into it had I known this? Amen. And so they needed to know they had a plan, but they didn't know all the parts of the plan, or they didn't know all the pieces to the puzzle. And so it would hinder them in some way. But see, this is one of those things that applies to us, is that we can have plans. We have lots of ideas of what we should do. We have lots of ideas of what is right and what is wrong. But it's not those things that stand. It's the counsel of the Lord that stands. And that's why we start to filter things. We learn that we filter our lives. We filter our understanding. We filter our ideas through the Word. But what happens a lot of times is people try to filter the Word through their understanding or their ideas or their desires. They filter God's plans through their plans. And then they kind of pick and choose. You know, and we have to understand that this is not something that is a once that will happen to you, you'll get past it, and it'll never happen again. This is something that we have to contend with all our lives. Continually, we will be, the Bible tells us that we must crucify the flesh. What is crucifying the flesh? Crucifying the flesh is literally taking your plans and killing them. saying, well, I had this idea, I had this thing I was going to do, and now I'm getting rid of it. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, we were talking about that, and he mentioned, he brought up to me, he said, how many people have come to you and said, the Lord told me this, and you knew full well that the Lord never told them that? And I say it happens all the time. All the time. I mean, this is a continual thing that pastors deal with. And one of the things about dealing with that makes it hard is when someone comes to you and says, the Lord told me this, I have no place in their life to say, no, he didn't. Because if you're saying he did, if I'm telling you he didn't, then I'm coming against the Lord if that was truth. Yeah. Amen. But see, if somebody seeks counsel, then they can get counsel. But we have to understand that works in a natural level. You know, in my past life, I used to have to go to counselors, psiatrists and psychologists and all that stuff to get things, you know, try to get things rewired in my head and all that good stuff. But you know, how many knew that unless I sought that out, I wasn't going to get counsel from them? Well, the same thing is with God. If you don't seek out his counsel, you're not getting his counsel. Now, God wants us to walk in his plan, but if we refuse, we're not going to be able to get into it. Amen. Amen. But we have to understand that we all start somewhere. A lot of times when we come into church, with some kind of past. If you didn't, then the very few people that were born into the church. Amen. There's a couple of you in here. Amen. There's one here. Praise the Lord. We're born into the church. But still there's, you come in with, you still come in with some kind of, by the time you're getting the knowledge, you're receiving it, you've already had part of your life started. And so there's things that are already in you. So you start somewhere and you have to understand that could be part of those plans. Just because your parents did it didn't mean, even if your parents serve God and your parents love the Lord, even if they did their best, it doesn't mean that all their plans for your life was perfect. And so, as I deal with my children, the Lord has dealt with me a lot on this, is that not that sometimes what I want isn't what is going to happen. Sometimes what I desire for them is not what's going to be. Now, as a parent, I can be, I can look at things rather one-sided because I'm a parent. I love my kids. You know, I want certain things for them, and I want them to walk out certain things. But it matters that they walk out what God has for them, not what I want for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we all start somewhere. In John 16:13, we're all familiar with the scripture, but I'm going to read it anyways. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I love this because even in the Godhead, even in the Trinity, the three-part nature of God, there's submission. Yeah. Yeah. See, we all think that submission, we think it's this bad word. But really, the whole church works on submission. In fact, that's something I've seen a lot of times in overly Christianized areas or overly Christianized people, is that they get their ideas and they get their thoughts of how things are, and they kind of put together their own thing, and they lose this idea of submission. But see, God has called us to continually submit. We are to continually submit to one another. We're continually to submit to our elders. We are to continually submit to leadership and to those who rule over us and all kinds of things. Submission is part of a godly life. We can't live a godly life without submission. And yet there's so many people that don't want to submit. Submission is, it's almost become a bad word, a four-letter word, even though it's much more than four letters. But 10 letters, my wife says. Wow, praise you. You counted quick. Amen. If I'm spelling submission, I'm like, okay, there's how many S's here? And is there two T's? No, there's no T's. Okay, submission. You know, sometimes there's in that sound, there's no S-H, I don't think, or, you know, any of those things. So she just counted the letters out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we got to have a smart one around to keep us on track. Amen. But even in the Godhead, there's submission. God, he doesn't speak in his own plan. The Holy Spirit isn't coming up with different plans from God. If the Holy Spirit isn't going to come up, now if there's anybody who could come up with a good plan, it'd probably be the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? Yeah. Wouldn't you think that Jesus, you know, Jesus was completely 100% submitted to the plan of God, to the Holy Spirit. He was completely submitted to that. Think about that. If there's anybody who probably had good ideas that walked on this earth, I would say, wouldn't you say Jesus probably had good ideas? But see, Jesus even submitted in the plan of God. Submission is something, praise God, I didn't even think to go this way. I thank God. You know, my life has been so much about depending on the Lord for things. And I love that. I love it. It's at times I hate it, but when the fullness of it comes, I love it because God always shows up and proves himself faithful. Amen. Submission, though, submission is always the plan of God. And so we have to understand that, glory to God, in the plan. You can't get counsel from someone you're not willing to submit to. Or I should say this, you can't receive counsel. Yeah. You can't receive counsel into your heart until you're ready to submit. And what I mean, and we can partially submit. We can be like, partially, we can be like, well, you know, and I'm not saying this, you know, some people might think, you know, if there's somebody watching, I don't know, there could be people that think, well, he's just trying to get a bunch of people to submit to him. Believe me, the last thing I want, and you can ask my wife, is anyone to submit to me. I don't want anybody to come to me for anything. I don't want anybody to rely on me for anything. Why? Because I don't even want to rely on me for anything. It's just the truth. I don't want to rely on me for anything. But God has placed me here. And see, when God sets things up, it's good to recognize that, but then it's good to follow that. Amen? And it's good to recognize when, you know, again, you know, I spoke earlier about how, you know, we'll be challenged by the weaknesses of our leaderships. Yeah, why? Because we have to continually submit sometimes to people we won't agree with. But God's connected us for a reason. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to understand that submission, you can't receive counsel unless you're willing to submit. And so if you're only willing to receive partial counsel, you can only partially receive what God has. And I actually see this in the church a lot, not our church specifically, but in Christianity, is that people are willing to submit so far. They're only willing to take so much or to drop so much or to let go of so much. You know, that there's certain things, and God's patient. God is very patient. The Bible says that he is very long-suffering, and he is long-suffering towards all of us, and so he lets us have our minutes and our... But do you understand that sometimes the fullness of God's blessing, I would say most often the fullness of God's blessing doesn't come on someone because in some area they're not submitted to him. And so this is a reason that I often will touch on these things because I deal with it myself. I want to be fully submitted to God. Do you realize that submission to God is a continual process? Submission to God's plan is a continual process. We have to continually crucify the flesh. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not directing you into your plan, but into the Father's. If you are consumed with your plan, you will never hear his. If you're consumed with what your ideas of life are, or what it has to be, or what you like, or any of those things... And a lot of our plan, you have to know this, a lot of your plan comes from your desires. In fact, when I started pastoring, there was even some areas where I thought, finally, I can have some of my own. You know, the Bible says if you're not faithful in another man's, you can't receive what's your own. Right? That's what the Bible says. And so I take that to mean, well, finally, I can have some of my own. But you know what the Bible calls, you know what God calls us to do as we get further in the plan? Let go of more. Have less of yours. The further you go with God, the less of you there will be. The more consumed you get with God, the less of you there will be. In fact, if you're consumed with you, you can't have more of God. See, people, that so often they want the blessing of God. They're like, God, bless me, give me, help me, do this. And he's like, well, there's no room. I can't, because you're full of you. If you let go of you here, then I can help that area. Or if you let go of you here, then I can help that area. But until you're willing to let go, because I'm not forcing myself on you. He's given us all free will. And we love that idea of free will. But that free will has to be laid down if we want God. Why? Because it's not, our flesh is not what connects with the spirit realm. It's not our flesh, it's our spirit. And so if we feed the flesh, of course, we can't have the spiritual stuff. God is directing us into his will. The Holy Spirit is leading us. And so according to Proverbs there are many plans in a man's heart. But it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. You know, as I as I see these things, as I experience life, as I go through life, I'm seeing this more and more. You know, there's examples in my own life of where I've had to witness things. I've witnessed people in the last stages of their life. And as I witness them in these places, one of the things that I've often see is reflection of the life that they lived. That there's a reflection in their themselves. And and I'm beginning to realize that I believe that's purposeful of the Lord as well, to let people to let people consider. Because we do have to answer for the lives we live. You know, and I just decided in my life that when I get to that point, I want to be one who looks at it and thinks, okay, well, I did the best that I could there, or I tried the hardest that I could. I don't want to be reflecting back on my life going, man, I really wish I would have done this more. You know, the things that we focus on here in life, the things that we are consumed with here in life, I know we hear these things, material things don't matter and all that stuff, and they really don't. And the truth of the matter is that they all they are is really is a distraction from the things that that God has for us that are greater. Amen. But we're going to see this. Now, God doesn't intend for us, don't be sad, because God doesn't intend for us to live life that isn't happy, that isn't blessed, that's with, you know, just miserable and always, you know, just nothing but trial. That's not the life that God has for us either. And so there's balance to this, but we have to understand that. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10. You know, I was in these scriptures, Deuteronomy 10 and 11. Actually got here a real interesting way. I wanted to kind of go back and what brought me here is I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to see like some first mention of the Ark of the Covenant, you know, where that came from. Because I was seeking the Lord on that, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and, you know, the power of God and the Spirit of God in it. And of course now we know that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. And so, but it brought me here, and it was just interesting what I found. Glory to God, and I think there's more here for me to get into, but at least for this message, there's some good stuff in it that would help us, amen? In verse 12, or in Deuteronomy 10, 12. Now, you know, the plan of God, it's interesting, but the plan of God hasn't changed. Now, there's individual mandates and how we will fulfill his plan, but God's plan, the way he does things, it just hasn't changed. And I see what he did in the Old Testament, he's doing in the New Testament. Amen? In this respect. So let's get into this. Verse 12, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." He made it so simple. This is what he always wanted. He wanted us to, you know, and the fear is not to be afraid of him, but it's to be reverentially fear, you know, like to have reverence towards him, to be, you know, to not want to displease him, to to be honorable, to have respect for him and, you know, who he is and what he said. You know, after all, he did create us, so he deserves probably something, right, from us. Praise the Lord. But what does he require of? See, he doesn't, like, even this, and this is, you know, after they got the Ten Commandments and stuff like that, it isn't even follow the commandments. It's not even, you know, just have a bunch of laws. That's not what God required of us. What he's requiring of us is to love him and to follow him, amen? To walk in all his ways and to love him. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good. I got that underlined in my Bible because it stood out to me as I'm reading it. Look, he tells us to keep his commandments for our good. When he directs us to do something, it's for our good. When the Bible says to do something, when it says not to sin, it's for our good. It doesn't hurt God. It doesn't do it. Do you think that you sinning changes God? If you live for the devil your entire life, does it do anything to God? It doesn't. Not one hair on his head is hurt. It's not touched. There's not a breeze against him. I'm sure it might hurt his heart. You know, he might be saddened by it or something like that. You know, but because he loves you and he cares for you, but he commanded us these things for our good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth and all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. You above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You know, the Bible talks about this, and of course, everything that God did and everything he commanded, even the circumcision was to remind the Jews of these things. And of course, he's speaking to the Jews here, but these commandments still apply to us. This still is the basic thing which Jesus said. He said, if you love me, just do what I do. He said, or do what I tell you to do. Amen. If you love me, listen to me. Praise the Lord. When asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God. And the second is like it. He didn't let it just go with that. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he set it up real simple. And he says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. In other words, get your heart in line with what I'm teaching you. Get your heart in line with what I want you to do. Don't be stiff-necked anymore. What's a stiff-necked person? They're somebody who's they're resistant to the thing. When God gives us a commandment, we shouldn't resist these things. We should embrace them. Yeah. It's not hard to embrace the commandments of God because that's what produces fruit in our lives. That's what makes sure that we go through the other side. That's what gets us to walk in the promises of God. It isn't by pleading with God that we walk in his promises. It's by following him. Yeah. It's by following his spirit. It's by listening to the things he says. It's by going with God in the flow. Amen? Praise the Lord. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, almighty and awesome, who shows no partiality or takes a bribe. You know what I love about this is that God is not blessing one child above another. The Bible says he shows no partiality. And what's it really saying? It means he doesn't take it partially. Right? If you'll fully follow his plan, you'll be just as blessed as someone else that fully follows it. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. God, but we think that, well, this, why did this person get blessed? Uh-huh. Why do we even care? Yeah. God's not partial towards them. Yeah. He blessed them for whatever he blessed them for. Why do you care? Yeah. All you should care about is what's my directive. Right. Because if I follow my directive, he blesses me. Yeah. If I follow his directive, he fulfills my life. The plan, God's plan is for each of us, but it's for each of us individually too. Yeah. In other words, if you follow his plan, he'll walk you into that blessing for your life. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. He shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. If you see a theme, it's about loving God and loving people. It's about doing what's right by people. It's about not amassing what you can amass for your own life, not what you can get for your own life. You know, like serving God and serving people, no matter what storm is going on, no matter what's happening. Like, listen, you don't have to be in everything happening good to do what you should do. And yet people shut down when bad things happen. It's the reverse of what it should be. If bad things happen, it just should be an indication that you just keep going more. I see people do this all the time, and it doesn't make sense. Praise the Lord. He is your praise. I skipped over scripture here. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. That sounds a lot like, to me, you know, do everything in the name of the Lord. Yeah. When it says to take oaths, you know, it's not like, oh, I swear in the name of Jesus. I swear in God's, you know, I swear to God. We used to love, when we were kids, we used to love to say, I swear to God. Because if you said that, man, you knew they had to be telling the truth, right? Unless, of course, they broke that. And then you knew that they were, which people often did. Yeah, that's not what it's talking about. But, you know, do everything in the name of the Lord. You know, when you do something, when you promise something, you do so knowing that you're carrying the name of the Lord. Right. You know, I say this often. One of the things that kept me straight was my name. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager and I was walking away and I was starting to get into stuff, one of the things I was always afraid of was getting my name in the paper, because my grandparents had that name. And they were the ones, they were my spiritual, you know, my spiritual upbringing. And I knew that that would reflect on them. Yeah. The name matters. Yeah. Like if you trash the name, you know, I've told my son this before, and I still stand by it. I was like, if you're in the town we live, you do right by people. Because if you don't, you carry my name. It's not just you trashing your name. It's you trashing my name. And so that matters. You see, these kinds of things matter. But we do it in the name of the Lord. Christians do this all the time. They trash the name of the Lord all the time without thinking about it. He is your praise and he is your God. Praise the Lord. I wasn't going to go that far. But it was good nonetheless. Amen. He is our praise. Following the plan of God has got to be the number one thing in a Christian's life. We have to get past this idea of what kind of life are we going to build for us. You know, this idea of loving the Lord, you know, and God has really been stirring this up in me lately. Because one of the things I see about the church, and not, again, not just our church, but just the church in general, is they've lost the love of the Lord. People don't love God anymore. They don't serve God anymore. Every Christian is running around by their own lives, trying to figure out their own lives and being distracted by their lives and trying to create their own lives. And I got to have this, and I got to make this, and I got to work for this, and I got to do that. And in the midst of all that, where's God? Yeah. Well, the only time God is invoked, the name of the Lord is invoked, is when I need something. So I'll say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to demand this, or in Jesus' name, I'm going to command this. I talk to people in our camp, and I've heard it so often that makes me want to vomit. I heard people say this: I'm believing God for this, I'm believing God for that, I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God for that. And none of it has anything to do with God. Everything has to do with, well, I want my bills to be paid. Jesus didn't say, believe for your bills to be paid. He said, just trust me, and I'll pay them. He said, don't worry about your food, where it's going to come from. But that's all people worry about. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to do that? They say, they hear that Jesus is their healer, but then they're constantly worried about everything. They're worried about, well, what's going to come next? Or they hear God's their provider, and they're worried about, the economy is doing this, and the president's doing this, and so-and-so is doing this. None of it matters. None of it matters. If you follow God, none of this matters. But yet Christians are so focused on all this worldly stuff, and all it is covetousness. It's coveting it's coveting anything. You know, you can covet things you need. Yeah. God said, don't worry about all that. Yeah. Follow me, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. Man, I got a new iPad here that's closing down more often than it should, so. Well, praise God. Turn with me to Hebrews 5. We're seeing our example in Jesus. Glory to God. To my knowledge, I never preached on these scriptures before, but they're good. Amen. Hebrews 5 and verse 5. Read through verse 9. It says here, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And you notice it says that Christ did not glorify himself to become that. He didn't exalt himself. He had every right to take that position. More right than anybody. The greatest priest that ever walked the earth was right there. And yet he didn't glorify himself. You know, he didn't magnify his office, so to speak. Didn't make it about him. Didn't make it. This isn't about me being a minister. I'm not here ministering to you because, by God, I'm here to save you or to help. None of that. That's not what he did. Amen. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, Think about that. Jesus was heard because of his godly fear. Now, this is talking about when he's in the garden. This is the only time in Scripture that I'm aware of that Jesus cried out with tears, vehemently just crying out, Lord, take this cup from me. He knew what he had to face, but he also knew it was the plan of God. And when he realized that it was the plan of God, what did he do? He submitted to it. He knew God was able to save him from the death. But if God saved Jesus from that death on the cross, none of us would have gotten saved. None of us would have had an entrance. The plan of God was bigger. Amen. But he was heard. God heard him, and he comforted him. Amen. Though he was a son, listen to this, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, that word learned kind of threw me off a little bit until I looked up the meaning of it. And of course, I understood what version of learned it means after that. But it means that he experienced it. You know, when you experience something, you learn about it, don't you? If you've ever fallen off, you know, somebody can tell you about road rash, but when you fall off your bicycle and you meet the pavement for the first time with shorts on, you've learned it. Amen. You've learned about it then. And that's what it says here, that Jesus learned. He experienced, praise the Lord, he experienced obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Amen? So we see here that Jesus, he was perfected after all this, after he learned the obedience, after he experienced the obedience. But Jesus had to get to the place where he was obedient, even to the point of destruction of the flesh, destruction of life. Now, of course, God isn't calling us all to be on a cross. Actually, he's not all calling us. I mean, I know we're all called to crucify the flesh, but God isn't calling us to all die naturally, amen, for him. I mean, there will be some that surely will be. But the point is that Jesus knew the plan of God so much that even as he prayed and desired something else to be the outcome, if there's any other way, let it happen, he still submitted to it. And see, and this is a mistake that so many Christians make. Many people don't pray right because they don't even know what the plan of God is. They have never even heard from God. Something bad happens, and they just automatically assumes, well, it's the devil attacking me. It's somehow something like that. So God, come take it away. But see, not all things were meant to just be taken away. There is struggles that we will have in life. Jesus told us that there would be opposition in life, and we have to be so full of God. We have to learn who God is so much in our lives and what the directive is for our lives, that when it's time to suffer for him, it's okay, we can do that. It's not all rose petals and butterflies and rainbows. The end result is we will be victorious through. Because even Jesus, even though death was what seemed like the end, he was exalted and glorified after he was lifted up. He was the firstborn among many brethren. The plan was accomplished. And even though death seemed like it was the end, that wasn't the end. See, we have to understand these things. We have to understand that we are something more than just this flesh. We're something more than what we eat. We're something more than what we have in the bank account. We're something more than what we drive or what we wear. We are children of God, and we are called to do something, praise the Lord, but people don't take the time. I just want a life of blessing. And that's the other side of things. I'll be honest with you. I used to be somebody who embraced that kind of understanding. And I don't embrace that anymore because it's not the word of God. Now listen, I do embrace the fact that God has a good plan for us. And the plan for us is to prosper us. It is to bring us into a place of fulfillment and joy and all those things. But I'm going to tell you right now that the fulfillment and joy is not going to be found in material things. Sure, you will be blessed with material things. God, I have no problem believing that. I have nothing in Scripture that would lead me to believe otherwise. But we have to understand that we cannot make life about that. It is not about the stuff that we have. It's not about the things that we carry. But there is an aspect to that we have to get. Sometimes we're going to be in lack, and that's okay. Sometimes it's going to seem like we can't make it, and that's okay. My God, if you've ever seen me on a Saturday afternoon, you would understand that there's a lot of Saturdays I believe I can't make it through the weekend. But that doesn't matter how I feel in my flesh. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not sitting around moping around every weekend going like, oh, this is just the end of me and stuff like that. Sometimes I do, but that's not usually way things are. You have to understand that, you know, there is an aspect that sometimes we're going to feel not good about it. Sometimes it's not going to feel joyful. Sometimes the work we have to do is going to cause us to have to sacrifice. You can't give without sacrificing, or it's not giving. You know, so many people think about that. They're like, until it hurts, it's not giving. Why? Because it's not. God is blessed when it's a sacrifice. We sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. You know, so many people they want ministry because they want to be heard. They want to be able to speak. They want to be able to fulfill the plan of God for their life. Well, listen, if God needs you, He'll call on you. And if He doesn't need you, He won't call on you. And you got to be okay with not being called on. In fact, the one thing that I've learned from being a pastor, because I was the same way. When I knew I was called, then I wanted to fulfill that call. Right? And I wanted to be in that place. And I wanted to take those things. But you know, now that I've been in it a while, I'm like, Lord, if there's someone else that you would rather use, I'll yield the pulpit to them. I do not, like, if you want my wife to be the one and you want me to go teach art, I'll do that. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm just saying, she's the breadwinner in our family. Praise the Lord. If you want me to go be the breadwinner and you want her to full-time pastor, let it be that way. I don't have to be there anymore. I don't have to be at the forefront anymore. I don't have to be heard. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I was talking to some up-and-coming ministers. And of course, there's a lot of sacrifice when you're up and coming, and especially in the family churches, when you're being prepared for those things. There's a lot of things that you'll sacrifice. And I was talking to an up and coming minister, and we were talking about sacrifice. And one of the things I said was that, I know you've sacrificed, but if you think that you've sacrificed now, you just wait, because if you pastor right. It is marked. Ministry is marked by sacrifice. That's what it is. You lose. And like I said, the further you go with God, the more you lose of you. The more you lose of, people look at, they see certain things that maybe a minister gets or whatever, and they think, well, they exalt that. Maybe they say, well, a lot of people think we golf all week or whatever we do. Praise the Lord, and they have ideas of it, but it's just people that don't understand what truly goes on in ministry. But it's not something that you get to do. I always get a kick out of the concept of retirement as a minister. Like, really? Retirement as a minister? I don't ever see that in Scripture. Paul didn't retire, he was killed. Jesus didn't retire, he was killed. Actually, a whole bunch of them never retired. They died in it. Why is that? Because God doesn't, the plan of God doesn't stop so you can go to Florida in the winters. Right. You know what I mean? Which would be great, but that's not what happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We learn through the suffering, and the suffering, of course it pertains to the plan. There'll be different kinds of suffering. I'm not saying that the suffering, that God puts sickness on us and things like that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's scriptural. Amen. In fact, as I go through the Scripture and I read about sickness, there are times where God puts sickness on people. It seems in the Scripture. Amen. I can point to it, but it's never God's people that are serving Him. Following His plan, it's people who have been, it always comes in the form of judgment. So, if you see the Israelites being judged, yes, God sent the plagues. You know what I mean? You read in Revelation 3, it talks about Jezebel, and it says that, he'll cast her into a sick bed. Obviously, he's doing the casting. So at the very least, there's that. Amen. And so we understand that there's a form of judgment that comes when somebody has been disobedient. But there's also, different levels, too. And just because you were disobedient in one little area of your life doesn't mean that God's going to throw cancer on you or something like that. That's not the way that it works. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have to be balanced in these things, and I have to understand. But many people are just praying. They're just praying, you know, they don't even know why they're praying. They're just praying things out. They're just praying, you know, Lord, change this or do this, instead of seeking God and saying, Lord, and it's not even like, listen, if we're dealing with a situation after it comes, we're already behind. We're already, but like if you're praying what they call scared prayers, you know, all of a sudden something happens and it took you by surprise and you're just like, oh, dear God, you dropped your knee. Oh, dear God, change this. We got to help. Listen, it's too late. There's already been, I'm not saying God can't do anything, but I'm saying you're already behind the eight ball. You know what I mean? You're already in the, is that the right saying? I don't know if it's the right saying. You're already behind. Amen. You're already in the place where we should go through life not being surprised, things can take us by surprise, but we can still know who God is and stand strong. Yeah. Amen. If something comes up, you know, we had our last month our dryer stopped working. How many know that in a household where a dryer runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because it does in our household, amen, when it stops working, even for a day, that gets you behind. But you know, there was a day when that would rock me, and now it didn't. And it took us a few days, actually took us a few weeks. But the truth of the matter is, we got a free dryer. We ended up getting a free dryer, and it was just set up. You know, Lord had set it up actually a long time ago. How it happened, it wasn't brand new, but it was better than the one that we had. And the one we had was only 2 years old, so it was almost like brand new. Amen. But it definitely, at the very least, it worked. But it worked good. Amen. It worked even better than that one did when it was good. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that, see, some people that would absolutely rob their peace, and something breaks or something they weren't expecting. What do? You don't worry about it. You know what I mean? You get to a place where you start trusting God. Listen, we don't want to be behind everything, but we understand that, and that wasn't God, you know, it's not God testing us to see if our faith is good and stuff like that. That's stupid too. And that's out of balance as well. Amen. Yeah. But we know, because we know to the best of our ability that we serve God. It's not a bragging. It's just, we know that we do to the best of our ability. Or we try to the best of our ability, amen? And because of that, we know the Bible promises that he'll take care of us. And guess what he always does? He takes care of us. We're always taken care of. You know, sometimes the opposition will be there for a minute, but it doesn't last. It doesn't remain, amen? Glory to God. I want to just bring this scripture up, these scriptures up in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, this is not saying, let this mind be in you, that you think that you're equal with God. Glory to God. Some people have twisted that and taken that out of balance bad. But he made himself of no reputation. It means the principle here is he was of anyone who should be highly exalted, he was the one who could claim the right to that. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. And that's exactly what we just read over there in Hebrews. Like, he was a son. He was entitled to everything that the Father had. He was a son. He was the one who was to inherit everything. He didn't need to die. Death was not in the card, so to speak. It wasn't what sonship gets you. But it was what the plan got him. And he followed that even to death. Praise the Lord. And this is why God exalted him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you. It doesn't matter what your position is. It doesn't matter what you're called to. That we humble ourselves to the point of obedience to whatever the plan requires. The plan may require a lot of different things, and it's not up to me to tell you what God's plan is for your life. It's up for each of us to seek that out and find that out. But remember what I was preaching in the beginning, that the only way to find God's plan is through submission. You will never find it through self-exaltation. Self-exaltation is claiming what belongs to you. See, we're Americans. This belongs to me. But submitting Submission says, I'm giving up what belongs to me. Jesus said everything belonged to him. All things were created for Jesus. All things were created for him. He was there when the Father created them. They were created for his pleasure, his enjoyment, his love. Glory to God. All things were created for the Lord. And he said, I'll give it all up. And that's exactly what he did. Let this mind be in you. Christians, I don't know why we've gotten to this place where we think that we can go forward in God, go forward in the plan of God without complete and utter submission to him. And submission to him is not just reading his word. It's not just praying. It's not that. It's saying, Lord, my life is yours. Yeah. I'm giving it to you. Yeah. No longer do I hold on to these things. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm not holding on to the stereotypes. Listen, the other side of this, the thing that got out of balance, you know, at some point in religion was that God just wants you poor and he just wants you broke and he just wants you defeated and you just live this. You know, that's not what humility is. Humility is being willing to not take what's yours willingly, knowing that all things belong to you, but you don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have you. This is a hard message for the body of Christ, and it's a hard message for today. But I'm going to contend with you, and I'm going to present this to you, I believe, as an absolute fact. The reason the United States is seeing the things it's seeing is because the church has lost sight of this. Yeah. The reason that Christianity is seeing the things that it's seeing is because they've lost sight of love for God above all. Because that's what love for God truly is. Yeah. It's a complete sacrifice of, you know, when you read about when you really study what the great love chapter and really, you know, we always think, you know, of 1 Corinthians 13 is a great love chapter, which it is. It's a great love chapter, but there's a whole book. 1 John is all about the love of God. It's all about loving God and how to do it. It talks about the brethren. It talks about sacrifice. And it talks about you can't be in love if you're not doing this. And yet somehow Christians, they've in this modern kind of bless me society, have just completely forgot. Listen, God wants to bless you. Yes, you have to know that. You have to know that God wants you to be full of joy. A fruit of the Spirit is joy. You can't be in joy if you're miserable. Right? Amen? You can't be a joy if you're just nothing but lack. If you're always sick, joy won't be there. Amen? God has called, you know, to those things, but that can't be the focus of who we are. It isn't about, like, you know, it's great, and I love it when there's testimonies. Yes, thank God. When someone gets their first new car and stuff like that, that's we got a testimony like that this week, and we rejoice with them. That's wonderful. Yeah. But know that God bless you to be a blessing. Yeah. You know, as I see in the Bible, actually, when you read right over there, I was over in there, and I didn't even know I was in there, but I was reading over there in Luke 12. And Luke 12 kind of mirrors what it says in Matthew, or does mirror what it says in Matthew 6, only a little bit different. You know, don't worry and all this stuff about, you know, God will supply for you and all those things. Look at the lilies and the birds and all these things, you know. And he says, look at all this and how God will supply you as well. But just before that, he's, somebody brings to him an example. They said, you know, they come to him and said, Lord, my brother doesn't want to share the inheritance with me. He was like, do something about this. And then Jesus tells a parable of the man who's storing up. He's gaining, praise the Lord. He's increasing in life, and he's increasing so much that the amount that he has to the buildings that he has to save it in are not enough. And so he devises his plan, and he says, I'll just tear it all down, build new ones, and then I'll have more place for more stuff. Yeah. But God said, your soul is required of you this night. And the question I love that he poses, he says, and who's the one who gets it now, basically? That's my paraphrase. He's like, think about that. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in, recently I've been spending some time in Ecclesiastes. And if you don't read Ecclesiastes right, it can depress you. But you got to understand what God is doing in it, you know. But it's a man who's just like I was talking about earlier. It's a man who's at the end of his life, and he had everything, Solomon. And he's reflecting on his life, and he said it was all vanity. I had riches. I had everything that I ever wanted. He basically goes through this book and says, I had all this stuff, labor for all these things. And yes, I had increase and blessed, all this stuff. He said, it's all vain. It's all vanity. None of it matters. Because I'm going to die and somebody else is going to use it. And they probably won't use it right. And that's the truth. Of all the things that we amass here, we spend our lives amassing, God calls that covetousness. Covetousness. That's what it means to covet. The Bible says that you should say, and actually in Scripture, Luke tells us that we should be giving it away. How many Christians do you know are giving away their extra? It doesn't mean that you can't have nice things or anything like that. But you see Christians that are hoarding. And they're blessed, especially in this nation. Praise the Lord. And then it's like, well, if we do this or that, well, you know, I give a little bit here, but that's, you know, stay away from my stuff. See, just the mentality that a Christian has, it's my stuff, just tells you that they're not thinking right about it. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't mean that you can't have nice things. That's not what it's saying. But it's become about what we wear and what we drive and what we have and all these things and all that stuff God looks at and says it's garbage, it's rubbish. It means nothing to me. He uses gold as pavement. It means nothing to God. You shouldn't think about it one way or the other. It shouldn't even be a thought with you. God will take care of you. He'll bless you. He'll make you look good. But if your pursuit is after things, your pursuit is started off wrong. And you can't get to God if you're not willing to submit. And you're not submitting it. Because even in that case, and it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, because it doesn't matter. I've seen people both do it. Praise the Lord. People do it on both sides. It doesn't matter. What you hold on to just means that it's something that you don't trust God with. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We have to be willing for the plan of God. We have to be willing to listen to the plan of God. I'm pretty much at the end of the message. Amen? I just want to bring this up. 1 Peter 5:6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, this came to me about this. You cannot know God's plan until you learn to submit yourself to him, until you are willing to lay down your plan and pick up his. I want to share something with you that I believe the Lord gave me in regards to this. You know, this is my book. I don't always open this. This is the things I believe the Lord speaks to me specifically and teaches me. Hebrews 5:8, it says, of course, we read that, and it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Why would we believe that we would be anything different than Jesus? Why would we believe that we'd get more? You know, why would we believe that there wouldn't be some kind of, you know, in the suffering really is to lay down our will for his will. That's the bulk, I think, of what that is. And it manifests in different ways. Again, it doesn't mean God wasn't talking there. He just wants people to be poor, live in poverty and lack and all those things. That's not what he was talking about when he was talking about suffering. Amen. But that he was willing to submit completely to the plan. Though we have an inheritance to all things, it doesn't mean that all things belong to us now. God's plan requires submission. Submission requires sacrifice. Sacrifice requires crucifying the flesh. And crucifixion requires pain. We are being transformed into his likeness. But are you willing? You know, the pain that, again, that I'm talking about is that it's not joyful when you have to crucify something. But sometimes it is good. Sometimes it's good to have to crucify things. And we, you know, there's people, again, people take it out of balance. We don't want to be those people either. But we need to keep it in balance. And this is something that I know that is a something that I'm called to minister, or these kinds of things that you know, we talk about the blessing of God, and we should believe it. But going forward, we have to also know that there are times where we have to put our flesh under, and that's okay. There are times where we have to put things down, and that's okay. There are times when we have to force it, and that's okay. But as we follow God, He will, as we seek him and truly want to be in his plan, he will lead us in every step of the way. We'll know those things which are ours. You know, I've seen that in my own life. There's things that God has given us, and we know that he's brought them to us. and he's brought to us to be a blessing to us. And so we receive those things as a blessing, and we enjoy those things. And those things are not things that, you know, they don't cause us any, and that's the thing about the blessing of the Lord making rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Those are things that we literally, it doesn't cost us to utilize those things. But the pursuit of the things, we can amass so much, and all it does is take away. All it does is remove. God wants to bless us, but we have to be willing to move in his plan. Amen.